Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Noontime hour, I just retweeted two things that I find... Oh, there's your cut. There's your cut now, Arcan. That wasn't working during the update.
That was the drone show.
Oh, good. Two things I just retweeted. At @Mark_Bertrand on Twitter. Two things I retweeted that I would find more interesting than fireworks. One is high-tech, one is very low-tech. The high-tech one is the drone show that I'd like to witness just to see what it's all about. You can see a video of that. And then there's a video that... someone posted, because it's light 24/7 in Alaska, what they do to celebrate 4th of July with some sort of show. They drive cars off a very high cliff and watch them completely like be obliterated when they hit the ground.
That's awesome.
Like, it's actually, you know what?
I would watch the hell out of that.
That's sort of dumb, but I'd watch that. I'd watch that. I don't think there's any imminent risk of death.
Does a guy jump out right before it goes over the cliff?
No, they probably put a brick on the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Put a cinder block on the gas
pedal.
Yeah,
for the life insurance. Yeah, they put a corpse in there and just, you know, take it over the edge.
I don't think there's any bodies in there, but that's what they do. They do a full send, as they call it, where they send the car off a cliff. And they all gather around and watch the cars get driven off cliffs and completely smash. I'd check that out. It's different. It's something new.
It's not any less stupid than watching fireworks.
Oh, no, that one's pretty stupid.
I mean, it's stupid.
I'm not going to lie. That one's dumb. I said it, but I'd watch it.
But I'm intrigued.
I'd check it out. I'm absolutely intrigued. I want to see that. Just once, say I did it. Fireworks, we've all done that a million times now.
Yeah.
We've all done that a million times.
Let's crash some cars.
Yes, let's do something more
like
destructive.
Like Toons is the driving cat, you
please,
know, how we drive off the cliff.
Can we not blow off our hands next year on the 4th of July? Can we keep all the hands intact? please, for humanity. 617-779-0985. By the way, make sure you download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. As I like to say, tap that app. You can click on that app and you're streaming 98.5 The Sports Hub. So wherever you're going this summer, make sure you take it with you. 617-779-0985. The suspension for Julian Edelman, 4 games, that was upheld. He had an independent, jointly appointed arbitrator. His name was Glenn Wong, former professor at UMass. He was the arbitrator, and he ruled that the suspension was legitimate for Julian Edelman and that it would be upheld. The news was buried on the 3rd of July after 7 p.m. because the league hates PED suspensions. The NFL does not enjoy PED suspensions or publicizing PED suspensions. In fact, they would rather put out suspensions related to drug charges and weapons charges, which is what they did earlier in the day. That's what they did earlier in the day on Tuesday. They saved Edelman's news, the ultimate news dump, for the post 7 p.m. on July 3rd, which is Mike Hurley wrote on CBS Boston, that's a new standard in news dumping. That is a new standard that the NFL has set.
I'm still not sure I agree with you guys on that.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to.
If it was just a dump, why not throw it in with the other ones? You know, why not throw it in with the other group? Why isolate him? That's my take on it.
You're saying why not dump them all together?
Right.
On the third,
a news dump
hour.
Is a dump. You dump them all together. You had 3 or 4 other guys whose names you know you have to go back and read over
because they don't want to make it that obvious. They made it less obvious.
Less obvious that they don't want to.
It was a slow trickle on the third, as opposed to a huge dump. The 3rd of July dump at 7 o'clock.
Most of them came out around 2, right? Because I was working on Tuesday, and I didn't have a lot of those in the headlines. And then when Murray came in, I was driving, and it was 2:30-ish when he started getting the news dump on Reuben Foster and those other guys. So I wonder if maybe, you know, they had it planned out that they were going to drop those around 2:30, and then they'd save the Edelman thing if they were still considering any part of the appeal for later on that night. But that seems a little too convenient, doesn't it? Doesn't it sort of seem that would mean they were up there, you know, burning the midnight oil, making sure that they crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's on the appeal? And I just doubt that happened. It seemed like Edelman had a weak case, and they probably decided pretty early on, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Tweet from Schefter came out at 7:19 p.m. 7-19, and so the league dumps it late on the 3rd of July. I think it's that they don't like PED suspensions. I don't think they're trying to do a favor to Edelman. I think it helps Edelman, or I think that it sort of buried it, which I guess is, you know, good for a day or two. But we're all still talking about it. Here's what I think, though. The major overarching point about this entire thing is that if I needed some PR work done, I would hire Edelman's representatives because I think they did a good job in this.
Mm.
For him. I think they're full of crap, but I think they did a good job for him because they wanted to create doubt in the minds of the public, and they wanted Edelman to look less guilty of PED use than he is. And I think they did a good job with that, of creating the doubt, because there are people that believe he tested positive for something that was completely unknown, and they messed up his urine sample, and the league railroaded him. And none of those things are true. Not a single one of those things are true. And there are people that believe that today for one reason. The work behind the scenes of his team, whether that's his agent, his high-powered attorney that he hired for this, their work led to people being confused about the facts, confused about what actually happened here. And I do find it curious because nobody cares about PED suspensions in this league.
Right.
Nobody cares. It's not baseball where people get up in arms and baseball fans get really upset when guys are caught using.
Can't be in the Hall of Fame.
Even though they've all been using forever. Yeah. They get really upset in this sport. Fans don't get upset. They say, yeah, of course. Of course they're taking PEDs. Do you watch the games? Do you see what these guys do? But they wanted to do it. They had good PR angles, and they took advantage of them. And it started with Burt Breer and his report that the substance was initially unrecognizable, which could be true. It might be true. I don't know that it is. There's no proof that it's true. But let's assume that it is true. It doesn't mean the substance didn't trigger a positive test.
Right.
They don't just have a test where they say, there's something unknown here. No, whatever the unknown substance was, it triggered the positive test. And this is covered in the policy.
It had a chemical compound that would have triggered something.
Yes, it had to be anabolic based on the suspension.
Whether it was actually HGH or whatever, the compound was there that triggered the test.
The anabolic agents section 1 in the PED policy, and Section 2 for the masking agents, but it's not a masking agent. That only gets you 2 games. It read, and other substances with a similar chemical structure and similar biological effects. Meaning, it creates a positive test. It has a similar structure to the other 71 different anabolic agents that are on the list. And all of those 71, there's items on that list of 71 that are compounds and of 2 other items that are on the list. So now you could just add a new one to the list of 71, give it a name. As I said earlier, maybe they've already named this new one, and they call it Edelman. I mean, give it a name. Start naming them after the first guy who uses it and tests positive. And so I don't think it was that much of a stretch. So yeah, they looked into it. They figured out what the compound was. He knows what he tested positive for. They have to tell you what you tested positive for. They have to provide that. And clearly they did.
But they don't have to release that publicly.
They never do.
And they never do.
They never do. In fact, they don't even give it to your team.
Because of that,
they
I wonder then. And that's it. And I wonder then if maybe Edelman's reps and people could have done a little bit more to sort of muddy this up a little bit. There was never
more.
Any...
I mean, they did a fabulous job.
They did a fine job, but I also sort of wonder, like, you know, we're at the point now with him where we know he took something, we know that it was a problem, and in the past when these things come up, what always gets said, oh, it was Adderall, oh, it was this, oh, I don't know what it was. It was something along those lines. Where I think to the point with him now that it's been upheld that, you know, if they want to really make Edelman look good or continue to try and provide some sort of idea or doubt about how guilty he is, maybe that route wasn't, it was sort of, it's a little finite, I guess, is my point.
Well,
like, there's a bit of finality to it.
Yeah, except now they're floating the idea that they're going to federal court.
Right. That's, which I don't want that either. But
they're still doing it, though.
Yeah.
More on Edelman, his suspension, and your calls as well coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Julian Edelman, his appeal officially denied, according to his source informed of this situation. That means he's going to be out the first 4 games of 2018 with a PED suspension. Now, this was a suspension that came from failing a drug test, really the only one that Edelman has failed throughout his career, but still failing a drug test as he was trying to recover from a torn ACL, something that robbed him of all of his 2017 season. Edelman did have a strong, he believed, appeal, including for two reasons. One, that the substance he was actually tested positive for was not immediately identified. Then he believed there were also some concerns about how the NFL handled his sample. In the end, the arbitrator in this instance did not believe either of those, officially knocking Edelman out for the first four games. And the Patriots have stocked up on receivers. They have several of them on their roster. One of those guys is going to have to take the place of Edelman, at least for the first four games.
Aaron Tolak and Bertrand Christian Arcand in for both Hardy and Zo today. No vulture duty for you today.
Nope, I'm off that for the week. Tomorrow I'm in with you again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do this again tomorrow.
Right, and Jones is in with Fred again, I think.
Freddie T working all week, too.
That's, I know.
Good. It's wild. It's impressive. We'll give him that. It's really grinding. Oh, by the way, how about Felger in Nantucket? Oh, my God.
Oh, in Jurassic
this
Park,
is what
yeah.
just made me remind, just reminded me of that. Oh, my God. That, I laughed out loud when I didn't know that was happening. I didn't figure this out until Tuesday.
Right.
So it happened on Monday, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I turned it on Tuesday, and I lost it. I'm like, what is this? What is the, where is he? And I knew right away. I'm like, oh, he's on the island. He's on Nantucket.
Right.
He's in the backyard on Nantucket doing the show. To which I said, I've now officially announced my intentions. I'd like to host a show, this show, from my own backyard, but I don't have a house anywhere. I just from my backyard in Quincy.
There you go.
Visitors will be welcome, and we'll have like a cookout. We'll have like hot dogs, hamburgers, and you know, we'll fill the joint.
Sounds like a good time.
I don't see why we can't do this now. This is now going to be the new thing around here. Take your show wherever you go. Felger in the back, Skyping on Skype for the TV portion. tell me that it's not just me that finds that as funny as it is.
Like it's funny when he's indoors.
Tom's laughing because he finds it funny.
Like it's definitely funny when he's indoors. When he's outside, it's like a whole new thing. It's like he's at a picnic, you know.
and he looks like he refuses to use any sort of suntan lotion. He is beet red. He's red as a tomato out there in Jurassic Park. Doing the show.
We just start doing the show like on our daily business at the grocery store.
Yeah, it's like how far can we take this? How far can we take the technology where we just go and like strap on a headset and a GoPro and we just do the show?
Yeah.
Wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Like, no, I don't feel like coming into the office today. I'm doing it from, as you said, Tom, I'm at the laundromat. That's right. What? Oh, that was funny.
Down in the basement, my gamer chair, you know, just doing the show.
I forgot.
Just
oh,
hanging
man.
Out.
That was funny. I'm glad I was able to mention that. 617-779-0985. Edelman suspension, Celtic stuff as well. Why don't we get to a couple of calls? Troy in Dorchester. Hey, Troy.
How you guys doing today?
Hey, Trey.
So I was wondering what you guys thought about the Celtics getting players to make another player happy. Kind of like that LeBron rabbit hole where he builds a team and then he blanks out on you guys. What do you guys think about the Celtics doing that for Kyrie? I'm scared of it because he might leave anyway.
Okay, so I think what you're talking about is if the Celtics were to make a trade and go after Jimmy Butler
right.
to join him up with Kyrie just to make Kyrie happy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, no. Don't do that. Why would you do that?
Depends what you get him for, doesn't it?
Then you become the Lakers. Do you think LeBron actually requested Rajon Rondo?
No. I can't imagine that he would.
And if that's
or JaVale
true,
McGee or if, Lance Stevenson or that, any of the other weirdos that they signed this past week.
If that's true, they need to help LeBron, you know, from himself. Like, they need to, no. You are not going to call those shots. Oh, God, no. I'm not making a trade for a player because Kyrie Irving wants him. No, the Celtics are better than that. They don't need that. If Kyrie Irving requires you to go get Jimmy Butler in order for him to stay with your team, then see you later, Kyrie Irving, if that's what you're looking for.
Don't you want him to stay, though?
I do, but at what cost?
Jimmy, bringing in Jimmy
Kyrie
Butler.
Kyrie becomes the GM? Like, I'm sorry, I get it. LeBron goes somewhere. He wants to be able to call some shots. He's LeBron. Kyrie's not LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
No, he's not. I agree with that. Although I don't see any huge issue with going to him and saying, hey, we're looking to make a move here. Who are these players would you like to play with? We're interested in keeping
but
you around.
We're not talking about giving up assets, though.
No, not necessarily. But we also don't know even that this has been discussed. Like, it could be as simple as, well, you know, next year they want to go play in Brooklyn together or something ridiculous like that.
You're talking to a guy who, even if you do this for him,
he could still leave.
He'd still walk out the door.
Yeah.
Oh, the Knicks want you and Butler. Oh, cool. We're going to go to the Knicks now. Oh, you know, we're going to consider the Nets. We're going to consider going to Brooklyn. This is the stuff that is going to go on with Kyrie. You have zero commitment from the guy.
Yeah.
So you're going to try and beg? You're going to beg for his commitment by making trades and giving up assets for Jimmy Butler? Get the hell out of here with that idea. I don't want that happening.
All it took Paul George was just an impassioned speech from Sam Presti.
The Celtics now have pressure in the East. They have the expectation that they get to the finals, correct? We all agree on that?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
They have a clear path. They can moonwalk to the finals.
Is there any expectation that they will win the NBA finals?
No.
Zero. None. Absolutely none whatsoever.
They'll get there.
But they've got to get there. They've got to get there. And so this brings up another point for me, and that is I've heard a lot in recent days that, well, look at it now. The Celtics, as you just said, have the moonwalk to the finals. They can just walk right on in like they own the place when it comes to getting to the NBA Finals. Do you know what I think is coming? NBA realignment.
You think, huh? No more East and West?
I think it's going to be maybe two more seasons before Adam Silver gets his way.
Interesting.
I think it's going to be this season and next.
Just like AP top 25, basically.
Yeah. I mean, he sort of described it. And his biggest thing is, I guess, they're concerned about travel. Is what their biggest problem is, the travel that would be involved if they go without East and West.
Yeah.
But they're looking to scrap the conference format. They're looking to get the top 16 teams in. But then there is this. This was written yesterday. The NBA estimates an increase of 40,000 miles of travel if the postseason is scrapped and they go to the top 16. How about that?
Wait, how much? Say it again.
40,000 extra miles of travel combined.
Damn. Wow. Yeah, because they wouldn't be setting the schedule the same way. That seems unnecessary, doesn't it? Like, you can wait for the tide to turn. There's always been instances where the East was better than the West, or the West was better than the East for, you know, years and years and years, and then that sort of switches and goes back the other way. Are you really so concerned about that you're going to just dismiss the whole conference?
I don't know. The league says that right now, every year, postseason travel averages 90,000 miles.
Okay.
They would add an approximate 40,000 miles for a total of 130,000 miles of travel.
It's a lot.
It is a lot, but do you think it's going to stop them?
No.
I don't think it is either.
Ultimately, probably
because
not.
Because the league is at a place now where this sucks. Like, Golden State's going to win. They're going to continue to win. That's not good for your product. It's not good for your league.
It's not good to have it this top-heavy. That's true.
And by the way, I don't love the idea of having the commissioner able to step in and stop trades. I hated when he did that with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I can't stand that they did that. If guys want to take less and play together, then it's going to happen. But it's not going to be good, ultimately. I mean, the ratings are still decent, but it's not going to be good for your product.
No, I don't think so. And I think that the ratings, as good as they are, you know, Jones and I have talked about this, is the fact that you got a product now where the offseason is infinitely more interesting than the actual regular season was, and most of the postseason, save for the conference finals. Conference finals were exciting. You know, Celtics and Cavs, that was a good series. Houston and Golden State was a very good series, too. Even Cleveland and Indiana in the first round, that was a 7-game series. You had some competitiveness there. But for the finals? After game one, nothing there was dramatic at all, and you can go back a couple years with this now. I mean, it hasn't really lived up to that. The off season is where all the action is, you know. Like I don't know if that's going to change necessarily if you dismiss the conferences and make it all just one big list. Like, I still think you're going to have a very top heavy product, and that's going to continue to be this way. I don't know. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
617-779-0985. George in Medford with a thought on fireworks. George.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, George.
Hey, George.
I'm going to say something you probably never hear, but you're dead wrong about the fireworks.
Which one of us are you talking to?
Which part about the, which part though? What's
About them spelling words and faces. One of you said, "Oh, if they
that was me,
words,
yeah,
yeah, like either yeah, Joe's Christian. Or whatever." Yeah. If you watch the fireworks from last year, they actually spelt out in red, white, and blue, a big USA, and they do a kind of it's not a great flag, but they have the ability to make a flag, and they do it. You obviously didn't watch it in Boston last year. You would have saw the USA.
I didn't see it in Boston. No, I missed it. I did not see that.
Okay. Well, if you Google, I'm going to say if someone in your office Googles fireworks spell words or fireworks make flags, you'll come up with the pictures and the video.
All right. I'll get right
but
on that.
They also do huge shows in New York and L.A. and stuff that we don't see. But if you, they actually can spell words and they make flags now, and they're getting better and better at it.
I haven't seen one in real life. I've only seen them in cartoons. I've not seen one of those in real life. I've seen a lot of fireworks shows. I have.
Some. I do see some.
But I've never seen that. I didn't see it in Boston ever growing up, and I haven't seen it recently. I'll admit I haven't been as interested lately.
They can do it, but it doesn't look good.
It doesn't?
No.
Okay.
I'm looking at some photos of things that have been spelled out.
So we're like 35 years, you know. And first of all, fireworks started in what, like China in the 7th century or something like that? Like you think by now, after all these many millenniums, we'd have a little bit more ability to make it do other things. Still basically just boom, big boom, and then they drop down, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it looks like a lot of these fireworks that are, oh, man, like, this does not look good.
I like how that guy was ready.
This is supposed to say, I'm looking at one, it says USA, but it looks like it says USR.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it's just not good. It's just not, the quality is not good. Well, there haven't been enough advances in fireworks to keep us interested.
No, there have not.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That is the point. Here are the headlines. Arcan has you caught up on everything that's going on. We'll talk more Celtics, more LeBron as well, going to the Lakers. What a bad decision for LeBron. We'll get to that next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, 617-779-0985. ESPN reported on Wednesday, by the way, that several NBA executives expect Kyrie Irving to consider the Knicks if he opts out and becomes a free agent next summer, which is what we all expect him to do. Not exactly a surprise at this point, given that story that he was in a couple of weeks ago, you know, promoting Uncle Drew.
Right.
Promoting his movie.
Have you seen that yet, by the way?
No, I haven't seen that. Have you?
No, but I feel like I have to because I trashed it so much.
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
I feel obligated to go find time to see it.
Like, I just ripped the entire idea of it and everything, and I did it for like 2 weeks, so like
same
I have
here.
To see it now.
Same here. I ripped him. I ripped his movie. I ripped the fact that he needed to go have his sinus surgery, his deviated septum surgery, to be able to go promote Uncle Drew, and therefore he's missing Game 7.
Want to go see it?
Yeah.
I'm free today. Let's go.
I'm not really, but...
You can sit up there like those Muppets, you know, those angry Muppets who watch the show.
What Statler are
those
and Waldorf.
Yeah, Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, Statler. Oh, you think this one's a good movie? This thing sucks. LeBron James, however, he opped out and chose the Lakers. And I would say the same thing about Kyrie Irving if he chose the Knicks. It's not about winning. It's not about going to a place where you can win, right? It's about going to a place you like.
Yeah.
Which you have every right to do. I'm not saying these guys don't have the right to go choose whatever city they want to play in. Be my guest. But then expect the rest of us to call it for what it is. And in LeBron James's case, this place that I think was just so determined already for him to go to the Lakers, it still, in a way, was off-putting when it happened because, number one, he did it with very little fanfare. That was strange.
Yeah.
It was, like, quiet.
It was a tweet from his agency. That's it.
Has never, by the way, didn't have a face-to-face meeting with the Lakers and has never spoken to his new head coach.
Yeah, right. Luke who?
Who was drafted in the same draft that he was.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I think
that's
Luke
funny.
Was like pick 31 of that round. I think he was the end of that round.
That must, 2003.
They were drafted in the same year. They were drafted in the same draft, and now that's his head coach.
Wow.
He hasn't even spoken to him.
Going to be a lot of mutual respect there, I bet.
But the Lakers stink. They're a bad team.
Yeah.
Well, they have about 35 wins last year.
Yeah.
So how many more wins better will they be with LeBron? Definitely more than a few. Okay. But I don't know how you could sit here and say that LeBron chose this, because LeBron is, you know, driven by the winning. He's driven by the legacy. He's running out of time. The window is closing. He's chasing Jordan. You can't say that about this decision. Things could change. Kawhi could end up there. Lakers may not be done. And I'm sorry, but too many people are willing to give the Lakers the benefit of the doubt on everything. Oh, they're the Lakers. Of course they'll build a super team with LeBron.
Not necessarily.
I think that his power to draw in other players is sort of, let's say, on trial right now. And right now he's losing the case. Because no one else wanted to go there. Chris Paul didn't want to go there. Paul George didn't want to go there. After saying forever that he wanted to be a Laker, that hasn't happened. So his last, I guess, hope right now to not completely take a pass on 2018-19 is if the Spurs reduce their ask for Kawhi Leonard. That's it. That's the only way they're going to get better. And if they do get Kawhi, does that make them better than the Warriors? No. Does that mean they'll beat the Warriors? No, I don't think so.
They'll be good.
They'll be a decent team. They'll be good, no doubt. But are they going to be the best team in the NBA?
No.
No. Will LeBron even make it to the finals? Maybe not. He may never even get to a finals with just that team.
It's going to be real tough to consider yourself a great Laker, you know, up there with Kareem and Magic and Kobe and Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain and all these other guys who won something, if you don't even make it to an NBA final.
And like I said earlier, now Wilt and Kareem and Shaq all went there mid-career, right?
Right.
Still
sure.
In their primes.
Mm-hmm.
They all needed to win. They hadn't done it. LeBron sort of done it and is doing this maybe because of the vanity, maybe because it's the Lakers and there's this thing about being able to say you were a Laker. I think that plays into it, but I think more importantly, he wants to be in L.A. He likes L.A. That's where the offseason home was. That's where his kid may go to school next year. You know, Rodeo Drive, the bright lights of Hollywood, all the celebrities sitting courtside during a playoff game. All those things are there, and he likes it. That's fine. You can like those things. Sure, that court. I'm not telling you that isn't fun. He's probably going to have a lot of fun playing in L.A., don't you think?
I would imagine,
and he's probably going to enjoy life quite a bit, which probably speaks to him being a well-adjusted human being and as a good dad, because he knows his kid is going to go out there and he wants to keep his family close together. That's good. Those are all admirable qualities if you're looking for a friend. If you're looking for a guy who is a cutthroat winner and only cares about that, that's not who he is. And if you've given him credit for that, like I have, he's not. He's
right,
not it.
Right now, these Lakers.
Jordan, he'll never be Jordan.
These Lakers aren't as good as those Cavs last year, right? I mean, if these Lakers with LeBron on it played these Cavaliers with LeBron on the team last year,
they'd lose.
Who wins that? The Cavaliers would win.
Isn't that sad?
They at least have Kevin Love. You know, I mean, at least they have one other guy. The Lakers right now have nothing. Julius Randle, who I thought might, you know, if they kept him around, develop into something, is gone. They have surrounded him with misfits and young players who really, I don't understand how this is supposed to work. JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, like, is this some sort of weird experiment going on here?
What a collection of weirdos.
Yeah, it is. I mean, those are three of the weirdest guys in NBA history. Rondo is on another planet, and McGee is...
Who's the best in there? Who's the best signing for the Lakers?
The best player?
Out of all the guys you just named.
Stephenson.
Who's the best signing, though? Who do you think will, like, be accountable and will be someone you know... At least you know what you have in the particular. I think it's McGee. Like,
you think he'll be the best player?
No, not best player. Most stable player, most consistent guy for what he is. Like,
yeah.
Most known. He's a known quantity, right?
I guess,
A known element. Consistent, stable, known element.
If you want to.
He's not the most talented player in the group.
Oh, definitely.
I get what you're saying. Lance Stephenson, I get that. But just. The guy that will be like a stabilizing force in that collection of
the
weirdos.
The calming presence.
Yes!
JaVale McGee.
Like, you can make the case. Oh, well, at least McGee, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
He's a veteran. You know what he's capable of. You know what he's going to bring night in, night out. He's a stable force in the absolute chaos of weirdos we've collected. Rondo! I don't know who had it. I think it was Chris Mannix or... I think it was Chris Mannix who had the tweet that said, can you win executive of the year and then also lose executive of the year in a 24-hour period? Can you give that award out and take it back? Because the Lakers, What are they doing?
I don't know.
That's sort of my question with the what are you guys doing?
They're not surrounding him with shooters, that's for sure. Like, there's not the three of those guys, not one of them getting
shot. Please give me more guys that can play around LeBron that don't shoot.
Rondo. What's Rondo going to do on the floor with LeBron James?
And then there is the leaking of the information on Lonzo Ball's injury.
Oh, you believe in this sort of thing?
Absolutely.
You think there's a conspiracy here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I believe that everyone uses the media to their advantage. That's what everyone does. Of course. That Lonzo Ball's knee injury was leaked out there so that he was not going to be valued in a trade to go elsewhere, which would mean he therefore has to remain a Laker. Which is, for someone like him, that kid needs the Lakers. He's worried about selling shoes and getting on TV and doing reality TV. The Ball family needs the Lakers. If you bury Lonzo Ball in a market that doesn't matter, we're never going to hear from him again.
Yeah. You send him down to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that family is desperate to remain with the Lakers.
Yeah.
And
it's either the Lakers or Lithuania for them right now.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. L.A. or Lithuania. 617-779-0985. Your calls on LeBron choosing L.A. Yuck. Oh, gross. He's a Laker now, which I think if you were enjoying him back in Cleveland, you can go back to hating him again. There's that. We'll get to your calls on LeBron and also your calls on the Celtics and their rookie who failed to show up for the first day of workouts last Sunday. That'd be Robert Williams. And, of course, Boogie Cousins going to the Warriors. Where were the Celtics on that one? We'll get to all that coming up next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Super team, Warriors, the rich get richer. They get Boogie Cousins. Short money. He's coming off an injury. He'll be back like December, January. And they'll have him for the rest of the year. On a one-year deal. 1 year. If he's an idiot, they just get rid of him. Oh, you're an idiot? Go home. We pay you what they pay Aaron Baines in Boston. Go home. It's fine. You get to kick him out of the room. And the Celtics were nowhere to be found on this. They were not in. They were not aggressive enough. When you're in the position they're in, you can't let a player like that slip through the cracks. I get it if you don't want to commit to him long term and you're not someone that wanted the Celtics to make a trade for this guy over the years. I get that. But on a one-year deal? I don't care. If it was more money, I'd still do it.
Mm.
1 year.
Yeah.
And it's not even really a full season.
Don't have to trade anything.
Nope.
Just
no
money.
Asset. No asset to give up. You just have to give up your money.
And worst, even, is he goes to Golden State.
Oh.
You know? If the East has opened up for you now, which it has because LeBron left, if the East is now the Celtics to take, now you gotta open door number three, and that's the Golden State Warriors with DeMarcus Cousins on their roster. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. An Achilles injury is no joke. And I understand why teams were hesitant, and I get why he didn't get any big offers. But, you know, for a look-and-see kind of deal like this, you know, for a 1 year, $5 million mid-level exception, Aaron freaking Baines
and
money.
I even admit, maybe the Celtics couldn't get him on that offer. Maybe that was not an offer he would have taken from Boston. You can give him more money. You can change his mind. He probably has a price. Everybody does. I think the Celtics missed there. They should have been more aggressive there on that front. Tom is in North Andover. Hey, Tom.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I just think I'd rather see Boogie Cousins go to the Warriors with like him being a big guy and all and having the Achilles injury. I'd rather take a chance on him possibly causing the Warriors a headache than coming to Boston and like possibly panning out. And I don't like calling him Boogie Cousins because I think it makes him sound cool.
All right. Here's the part about him being a headache. You can get rid of him.
Yeah.
There's no long-term commitment. You're not locked into it, especially if you're the Warriors. So now that he's with the Warriors, if he causes... Now, listen, we've heard there were some issues in that locker room this year.
Yeah.
If he contributes to that, and he's not really getting it down on the floor, they send him packing. We don't watch anymore.
That's what it comes down to, right? You know, I mean,
that's why it's a no-brainer for them.
Did Dennis Rodman ruin the Bulls back in the 90s? That's what everyone said was going to happen. Oh, how can you bring this guy into the Chicago Bulls? What's going to happen? Dennis Rodman's crazy. He's going to bring the circus with him. They kicked ass with Dennis Rodman. You know, and I'm not saying that Dennis Rodman and DeMarcus Cousins are the same player. Obviously, they aren't. And clearly, there's, you know, they're different people. But I'm just saying, like, every single time a signing like this happens, a really good team gets a great player or a very good player who has sort of issues, it never seems to really sink the team. Like, it's just that doesn't happen very often.
They had issues in their locker room this year. And what did they do? Won the title. They won it all with a sweep in the finals.
Yeah. They swept LeBron James.
They'll be okay. Andrew's in Florida today. Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hey, LeBron to the Lakers, to me, everybody's missing the big picture, right? I think this is the nail in the coffin for his legacy. He's moving again. There's no way they could build a championship team around him in the next four seasons. And he's going to be 37, 38 years old at the end of this deal. I just think this is going to just prove again, great player, Hall of Famer, but not a great winner and never a great teammate. Your thoughts, guys? I'll hang
Andrew, up. I agree with you. I agree with Andrew in Florida. I think this has sort of sealed something for him that is not good.
I think for next year, maybe. To say for the next 4 years, there's no way they can build a winner. I mean, you've seen the 2019 free agent class,
true,
right?
True, but do you feel good about it?
Not really.
I don't. Not on day one.
But I also didn't think there was a snowball's chance in hell Paul George would stay in Oklahoma
but
City.
Here's
so
the
these
thing
guys
too.
Can surprise you, I guess.
I think that he made this decision independent of the winning.
Mm.
He made the decision based on it's the Lakers.
There were a lot of reports.
It's L.A.
Saying how he was not, you know, didn't want to be the first one to sign, didn't want to be the first to commit to the Lakers, wanted to see something else happen first, and then he would go there afterwards,
was
either
that
George
true?
Or Leonard. Yeah, there was reports of that.
No, was it true? Did it end up happening?
Oh, no, definitely
no,
not.
No, not at all.
He went.
He quietly, without even having a face-to-face meeting, or going and having this whole thing, he just, yeah, I'm in. I'm there. Let's do it. Have the meeting. He was there. And that's it. He's now in L.A. That's his spot.
Where do you think he should have gone, like from a basketball perspective?
Now, that's a decent question because I don't think his options were great. Houston was a better option.
Houston, I think, was the best option, basketball-wise.
Was a better option. I think you could even make the case that Philadelphia could have been an option had it been truly explored because I think Philly has the assets to get Kawhi Leonard to Philly.
Yeah. Could have had both.
I think he could have had Kawhi in Philadelphia. That was the one I was most fearful of.
Celtics?
LeBron and Kawhi going to Philly together.
Mm.
Because Philly has the assets. Philly could have gotten the deal done. And I think that would have been a good option. I think that Houston would have been a good option. And the Celtics would have clearly been a good option, but I don't think he ever seriously considered them. That Stephen A. report that he was going to, you know, get a call from the Celtics and they were going to do their due diligence. Who knows if it even got to that?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it did. It doesn't seem like there was anything. It doesn't seem like LeBron really had any plans to do anything other than this. And that's, I think, sort of based on his history, based on, you know, you remember before the decision, there was like the Knicks and the Bulls and all these teams were involved and he sort of had that whole thing and then televised his big decision. You sort of had a feeling that he was going to Cleveland after the Miami thing the second time around and he was very sort of, he didn't have a big, you know, announcement about it, but he did write that letter to Sports Illustrated. This time, no meetings, no real announcement other than a short paragraph from his clutch agency there, and that's it. I mean, that's nothing. That tells me that there was never really a process to this. This was going to be happening this way from day one. And I don't really know that anything that's been done or said by any side challenges that. It seems like that's exactly the way it went.
Scott is in Peterborough. Scott, what's up?
Hey, LeBron did the totally right thing. He's going to build his legacy in L.A. He's not doing it the easy way, joining Durant and he's going to build the Lakers, got a lot of young players, and they picked up Rondo and those guys for the defense. Cleveland couldn't play a lick of defense. They went out and got shooters, and it just, this is going to work.
This is going to work right now, the way it is now?
Yes, because they're going to add to it. This is just the beginning.
Okay.
He's going to show that he's going to go somewhere with nothing, a bunch of young players, and he's going to win a title.
All right, but do you think that'll happen? Like, all right, but Scott, this year, would you at least admit that this year will probably be a bridge year?
Oh, absolutely. But that's the whole thing. The reporting was saying he doesn't want to go, you know, they have LeBron wrong. LeBron's going to go out there and try to build something. He knows he's going to probably be third or fourth in the West this year. But you got next year, you got those good young players like Kuzma and Ingram, who are any bit as good as Tatum and Brown. They're the same type of players, those four guys.
Kuzma and Ingram are the same as Tatum and Brown?
Absolutely. Watch some basketball.
I watch plenty of basketball.
They didn't have Kyrie. They didn't have Kyrie on their team last year.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't. But Jason Tatum, I think, Jason Tatum had Terry Rozier on his team in the playoffs, and he played pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, he did. He played excellent.
Yeah.
Look at the stats. Well, don't believe me. Look up the stats, all the rookie stats, and Kuzma was at the top of all of them with Tatum, and he led more than stats than Tatum did.
Yeah, okay, great. And that's fine. I think that you would be hard-pressed to find the GM in the NBA out there right now who would, in a trade package anyway, put Kuzma and Jason Tatum in the same tier. I think that's a bit of a reach.
So Brian Windhorst and Ramona Shelburne put up a post this morning about an hour ago. It is outlining why the Lakers have gone in this direction. It says, Magic and LeBron met on June 30th for 3 hours face-to-face, and that this was their plan together. LeBron and Magic decided on this plan of the guys who they acquired.
To acquire Stevenson, McGee, and Rondo.
Yep.
That was all part of the plan, too.
Yep. That's what this story claims.
Man. That's weird.
What Magic pitched to James was a team stocked with tough-minded playmakers like Stevenson and Rondo who could free up James to finish in the lanes and from the post rather than having to create the lion's share of the offense himself. Rondo and Stevenson are also defensively versatile.
Wait. Hold on a second. Wait. That doesn't make sense. They brought in Rondo and McGee so that LeBron wouldn't have to score all the points himself? What? What are you talking about?
As their length enables them to be effective defender in switches, that also follows with the talents of the 6'6" Lonzo Ball, who showed the ability to be an elite rebounder and defender for a guard in his rookie year. I know some people are rolling their eyes, but I like what the Lakers have done, a rival Western Conference executive said. You can find shooters. They've taken some in the last few drafts. Playmakers matter and are harder to find. This is all going to plan for the Lakers.
Rajon Rondo was hard to find. JaVale McGee was hard to find.
Hard to find.
Jeez.
These are the guys that are hard to get to. 90 seconds, no commercials. Arcand with your headlines.